Savior who we know has saved us. He loves us. Everything that we need during this time, this hour, this thing that we're going through at the moment, He has already provided for in eternity past. He hasn't missed anything that should be provided. So I want you to place your faith in Jesus Christ as He asks you to, because He has a fixed purpose for you, even during the COVID time. He has a fixed time for you, even during the COVID time. So therefore, if we live by the Word of God, praying for God's will to be done, maturing in the Lord Jesus Christ, then there will be a hedge around each one of us until our job is done and the Lord calls us home. Father, thank You for the protection that is here for us. Thank You for the blessed assurance that is here for us. And thank You for our beloved brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ that pray and pray and pray, because prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so greatly needed. Prayer is so strong. And prayer can move whatever needs to be moved and heal what needs to be healed in Your blessed will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you'll take your printout, you'll notice Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 18. We'll go 18 through 23. Then we have some more verses as we cover these right here in front of us. Well, let's begin with the introduction. And you'll notice we begin with a question. Here's the question. Why was this book, Ecclesiastes, written? To tell us that someone has been where the average person wants to be and has found it bogus. For in Ecclesiastes, we hear the lonely whine of the top dog. Alexander the Great experienced the same thing when at 33 he wept because there were no more worlds for him to conquer. You will not be satisfied, dear friend, with a little more money or a higher career move or the next educational degree. It's all empty. Kind of depressing so far. But at the end of the book, there's something that is a real gem. You see, jewelers traditionally put diamond rings in black boxes, and it's for a purpose. Because black provides a perfect contrast to the brilliance of the diamond. This is the black box. The gem is yet to come. Well, let's look at verses 18 through 23. We'll start taking a few notes here. So I hated all the fruit, parenthesis, gain of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will succeed me and who knows. Underline the word knows, and here is a side note here. In life, there will be things you cannot understand or control. I'll repeat that. In life, there will be things you cannot understand or control. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool. Underline the word fool, and it refers to a wasteful fool, a wasteful fool. Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I have labored, by acting wisely under the sun here on earth. This too is vanity, futility, self-conceit. So I have turned aside and let, underline the word let. The word let refers to a choice, to a choice. So I have turned aside and I have made a choice. My heart, underline the word heart. The word heart refers to mind, understanding, and attitudes. Mind, understanding, and attitudes. Now listen to what he's saying. So I turned aside and by choice, my mind, my understanding, my attitudes were frustrated over all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun. For there is a man who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, yet gives his legacy to one who has not labored for it. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get? What is the meaning and what is the fulfillment from all his labor and from the striving and sorrow of his heart with which the labors under the sun? For all his days his work is painful and sorrowful. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. It is worthless. Now, I've got some talking points I want to share with you. Listen, I really enjoyed digging these out. Number one, to the wise man, all his great works of wisdom and labor, which had ministered to him a temporary satisfaction, after a while became to him objects of disgust. They must be left, and to whom he could not tell. Here's the question. Was King David worried? Did he have anxieties? Underline the word anxieties somewhere on your paper, or just write it down if you will. Was David uneasy and distressed about future uncertainties? The answer would be no. Why? His heart. Write down the word heart, if you will. Heart. His mind, his understanding, his underlying attitudes had not been set upon his treasures, and therefore it was no sacrifice to him to part with what he had in life. Number two, is your heart clinging to this world? Is your heart clinging to this world? Number three, will it take sharp discipline to break it away from this world? Will it take sharp discipline to break it away from this world? And are you ready to say, my God, may I feel the vanity of everything that turns away my heart from you? Number four, Christian, are you grounded in your unchangeable covenant that you have with Jesus Christ, that was yours the moment you received Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? I'll repeat, Christian, are you grounded in your unchangeable covenant, full of better promises, higher privileges, and richer prospects? Oh God, fix our hearts and give us peace, not as the world giveth, but as you giveth. Then when you read verses 24 and 26, I want you to turn to page 2. Turn to page 2 on your printout. You'll notice verses 25 through 26. And we're going to read those and then come right back over to the talking points. Page 2 of the printout. Here we go. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Who would him be? The Lord God Jesus Christ. For to the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom. Underline the word gives. If God gives you something, it is a grace gift. It is something that you cannot find for yourself. It is something that you do not merit on your own. It is something your intellect cannot give you. Who pleases him, God, he gives wisdom. He gives knowledge. And he gives joy. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting. Listen to this. So that he may give to one who pleases God. This too is vanity and chasing after the wind. And here's another side note. We will never fully understand the complexities of life. We will never fully understand the complexities of life. Now I'm going to go back to my notebook here and some more talking points. Talking points in reference to verses 24 through 26. Number one, we have an immortal soul. We have an immortal soul. When was your soul given you? When was your soul given you? How would you answer that? What would your answer be to that question? All right. Who gave it to you? God did. So if you have an immortal soul, does it mean that there's something on the inside of you that God gave you that cannot die, that is not going to die? Is that correct? So when I die a physical death, my soul will not die also. Is that correct? When I die a physical death, where is my soul and my spirit going to go if I am a Christian? It is going to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, absent from the body, present with the Lord, and that is immediately. In the blink of an eye, that transaction is going to take place. All right? Now, since you have a soul, can this soul be saved after you die? So the salvation and this soul being saved has to take place when? On earth, in your physical body. Is there any such thing as purgatory? No. So there's no place you can go after you die that you can get cleaned up enough to get you into heaven. Is this correct? Okay. Now, our eternal state is at issue. What does that mean? Is there a heaven to go to? Is there a hell to go to? All right. Now, if I go to heaven, once again, that will be a decision I make here under the sun on planet Earth in my physical body. Is that correct? If I do not go to heaven and I go to Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, which is a holding pen until the great white throne judgment. So who goes to Sheol? All who die as unbelievers, those who have rejected Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Now, the third thing, whatever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. Number four, make the world's pleasures subordinate. What does that mean? Make them subordinate. Make them to be under God's authority, not primary in your life. Now here's chapter 3 that we'll get into a little later. Number 1, everything around us is in perpetual change. Do you believe that? Number 2, how can you seek solid happiness in so shifting a scene? You'll have to answer that one. Can you find rest on a tossing ocean or in a fluctuating world? There is no stable center, yet all of these fluctuations are under absolute control. And who has absolute control over everything that is going to happen on planet Earth from beginning to the end of it? All right, God does. Is God sovereign? What does it mean to be sovereign in reference to God? That God is in control of all things at all times. Will that ever cease? Will that increase and strengthen your faith? Absolutely. Okay, here we go. Now, it is not a world of chance or of fate that we live in. To everything, there is a season. There is a fixed time. You might want to write your name and say, I am living in a fixed time at this moment. I do not know when I am going to die. I do not know where I am going to die. I do not know how I am going to die. In a funeral that I went to Thursday for a schoolmate, you sit and you look up there at pictures if there is no casket. Or maybe the individual has been cremated. And I want to answer this question that is often asked in reference to cremation. If you are cremated, can you go to heaven? Absolutely, if you're a Christian. Will God have any problem putting all the ashes back together, making it to look like a resurrected, glorified, beautiful body. Not going to have one problem right there, okay? So it is not a world of chance or of fate that we live in. To everything there is a season, there is a fixed time. So let me tell you what Solomon is doing. Solomon has been whining because he has left out the God factor in his life. He's wrestled with pleasures. He's wrestled with labor. He has wrestled with everything under the sun that God allowed him to be involved in or participate in. His attitude has been rotten. He says labor stinks. And he says, one day I'm going to die and everything I have worked so hard for is going to be left probably to a fool who is very wasteful, and he's going to waste and tear up and belittle everything that I have left behind. It may be a prodigal son. It may be a prodigal daughter. So have I been a fool in working so hard and sweating so much, trying to accumulate, trying to build a great kingdom? It's just like you and me. God has blessed us with a home to live in, physical structure. And if you're a Christian, husband and wife, then you have labored. You have worked hard. You have prayed a lot. You have shared the word of the living God with the family that God blessed you with in that home. Then you're about to die. Your fixed time has come to an end. I hope you've done everything God would have you do during that fixed time. So death comes. Do I worry about it? No! I have done what I should have done as a father. I have prayed. I have read the scripture. I have done everything God asked me to do. There was no perfection there. But then he said, Terry, your fixed time is up. Therefore, I'm going to call you home. So before I die, do I worry what they're going to do with what they have been taught? With what has been presented to them? Some say, well, it's time to do what? Hand off the baton. Because I'm leaving. And I just pray that my family that's being left behind is going to carry on where I left off. My friend, listen to this. God says, there is a course for you set before you. There is a race to run. There is a job to be carried out that I have given you. There is a purpose that I have set before you for this family to lead and to guide and give them godly instruction that they may what? They may learn that the Word of God, the God factor, is everything in their life. And whatever you do under the sun, it will have no meaning whatsoever. It will be futile. It will be meaningless. There won't be anything worthwhile in it if the God factor is left out. But you know, I taught them to say labor is a gift from God. Pleasure is a gift from God. My family is a gift from God. And if you view everything as a gift from God, I promise you, you'll have a different attitude and a different perspective. And you will get up every morning and say, God, thank you for my physical body. Thank you for my eternal state. And thank you that you have saved me. And thank you that you have given me a job. I love to work for you. I love to labor for you. And I am so thankful. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If you don't have the God factor in everything in your life, you're going to be like Solomon. I'm just down, down, down on everything. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad to get up every morning. I'm glad to be able to go to the Word of God and read. I'm glad to be able to pray. I'm glad to be able to say, Father, thank you for the food you will set before me today. Thank you for the good night's rest that you gave me. And thank you that I'm not scared to death of COVID. Thank you, Heavenly Father. I'm not in a box as a child of the living God. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that He saved my soul. And thank you, Lord, that nothing is going to take me out of this world until my fixed time is up and my purpose is over. Amen. To everything there is a season. There is a fixed time, a predetermined purpose on which not on man's care, thought, or effort, everything depends. Of this purpose we know nothing. But listen to this. But known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. His eye has been upon everything, great and small, from all eternity. All is His unchangeable will. Now back to the printout very quickly. Notice under verses 18 through 23, there is number one. Let's look at it. Number one, Solomon built an extraordinary kingdom, just like you would build an extraordinary home. But he knew that one day someone would assume control of his empire and might ruin everything. I'll never forget my dad the first time he came up to the house over by the lake. I saw him sit down. I saw him look over the house. He said, "My, this is pretty." Didn't hear much out of him. Then he went home, him and mother. About a week later, I talked to mother. She said, "You know what your daddy had to say when he got home?" I said, "No." He said, "You know, Wanda, I've kind of busted it. I've worked hard to build this home so one day I could give it to Terry, our son." But he said, after going up to Hainesville and seeing what he's been blessed with, "I don't need to, do I? He's already got a beautiful home." Dad, I appreciate the thought. I really do. But there was something else in store. So did my daddy die and go into eternity with Jesus? Talking about that home? You know what you did? You did what you felt you needed to do. And it was appreciated all the way. I love him. I still love him, even though he's not with me. But I know where he is. But I want you to understand something. You do what God has set upon your heart. You exercise the spiritual gift that He has given you. And when you die, brother, you're leaving it. You're leaving everything behind. So what do I worry for? I'm gone. I'm out of here. I fulfill my fixed time. I fulfill my purpose. What my two boys are going to do with it, I don't have any idea. And you know what? I don't care. Because I did my best to do what God had me do. And I'm not worried about what they're going to do with it. Amen? Amen. Solomon built an extraordinary kingdom. But he knew that one day someone would assume control of his empire and might ruin everything. That knowledge led to what? Depression. Depression. He's worried about it. He says, "I don't know what's going to happen." What would God say to him? God said, "Don't worry about it. That's not your call. That's not your worry." He said, "You just focus upon what I am going to do with you and how I'm going to bless you and how I'm going to gift you with the things to fulfill and give you meaning in life and do what I've called you to do." Now, what they do after you're gone, they're going to have to answer for it. Amen. Point one. Eventually, the fruit of your labor, too, will be left to someone who hasn't worked for it and who might wreck it all. And there's nothing you can do about it. So don't worry about it. Right? You just do your God-called job. Verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and assure himself that there is good in his labor. Even this, Solomon says, I have seen. It is from the hand of God. Now here's some side notes. Number one. You cannot find meaning and fulfillment by your own effort. You cannot find meaning and fulfillment by your own effort. Number two, when you learn to receive things as gifts from God, you will have a different attitude and perspective. Let me repeat that. You cannot find meaning and fulfillment by your own effort. And secondly, when you learn, and you'll learn it today from the Word of God, when you learn to receive things as gifts from God, you will have a different attitude and perspective. There won't be a sour moment or note in your life because you realize that all has come from the hand of God. Of the living God. Solomon says, I have seen it. Well, he says at the bottom, Solomon has been talking about depressing realities of life under the sun, but here he begins interjecting God. Well, top of page two. Question number one, does God mind your enjoyment of legitimate pleasures? The answer is no, he doesn't mind your enjoyment. Is God upset that you like your job, food, possessions, or relationships? How would you answer that one? No. Are these gifts from God? Then why be upset with them? You know why? You've taken the God factor out of them. You're trying to find meaning in the things that can't give you meaning. Everything God has put together and created has a certain amount of meaning. And you go beyond that, there is none. Did you get that one? So what's the problem? The problem comes when you look for meaning in these things because at that point you're trying to find in them something that they weren't designed to provide. How many of you, like a tube of toothpaste, have you ever squeezed it till it was flat? I mean, there was nothing left. And a husband says, I'm going to throw it in the wastebasket. And the wife comes running and says, no, don't do that. There's still just a little bit more in there. And you hand it to her and you say, well, you get it out then. There's a lot of Christians today that have worldly toothpaste. And with both hands, they squeeze it as hard as they can until all the toothpaste is out. And what happens? There's nothing in there to be given anymore. But you try to get more. Well, let me tell you something. It won't deliver what it doesn't have. It won't deliver what it doesn't have. And if you take the God factor out of living, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be just like Solomon. You're going to be an old sourpuss. I'm going to tell you that right there. You gripe and you groan. I got to go to work. Well, I'll tell you what, thank God you got a job. Because a job pays your bills. There's a lot of people, I used to say, that would love to go to work, but now they don't. They're just paid by the government. I'll stop there. Verses 25 and 26, let's read it again. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Woo! What's the answer to that one? You can't. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? For to the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom. That's a grace gift because you can't give it to yourself. Knowledge and joy, but to the sinner, he gives the work, listen to this, of gathering and collecting so that he may give to one who pleases God. You mean he'll make the unbeliever work for you? Wow. This too is vanity and chasing after the wind. Well, here's a side note. Again, we will never fully understand the complexities of life. If you didn't get it the first time, get it this time. Number one, so what is the question? So what is the question? The question is God included in your pleasure? How would you answer that? Can you really enjoy life apart from God? Number two, what is the one thing we must make sure of? That we are looking to God to give us meaning. Meaning. You only get meaning from God. I'm sorry, that's the only place it comes from. A, the person who is pleasing to God, he gives, grace gift, wisdom. Underline wisdom. Let me give you a definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the gift of God. Wisdom is the gift of God, so it's a grace gift. Number two, wisdom opens to us channels of rich pleasure and important usefulness to others. I'll repeat that. Wisdom opens to us channels of rich pleasure and important usefulness to others. Well, look at the repetitions and injustices of life. Verse 1, chapter 3. There is a season, a time appointed. Who appointed the time? When did he appoint it? In eternity past. Are you going to change it? Is this by divine decree? Thank you so much. There is a season, a time appointed by the living God for everything, and a time for every delight and event or purpose under heaven. Here's a little side note. There is birth and death. There is seeking and losing. Question. Can life become miserably predictable? Yes. If you don't believe it, try to find a channel you hadn't seen on TV. Can life become miserably predictable? Yes. The same old you, wearing the same old clothes, driving the same old car, working the same old job, eating the same old food, returning to the same old house, sitting in the same old chair, watching the same old shows, and climbing into the same old bed day in and day out. What is Solomon really saying here? We're trapped. We're trapped in routine. Now, you got to get this, verses 2 through 9. There's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to live, to love, and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What profit is there for the worker from that in which he labors? Question one. What are we trapped between? Competing realities. Competing realities. A person can experience the extremes of life, the highest joy, and the deepest sorrow in the same week, even in the same day. I can do a funeral in the morning and a wedding at night. Somebody says, how do you do that? You got to switch gears. You got to switch gears. Question number one, what animal are we like? Hamsters. Hamsters. You know what a hamster is? What does a hamster usually do in his cage besides eat a little bit and drink a little bit? You ever seen him get on a wheel? What does he do? A hamster gets on a wheel and he starts running, doesn't he? Look here. Their little legs do a lot of running, but they finish right where they started. So things often seem for us. Verses 10 and 11. I have seen the task which God has given to the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. He has made everything beautiful that is fitting or appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity. Folks, you got to get this one. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose, so in every human being, there is a sense of divine purpose, and God has put it in you. So every human being has a sense of divine purpose. In the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. And how many of us have tried to substitute what God has put within us called divine purpose? In the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. Yet man cannot find out, comprehend, grasp from the beginning to the end. Here's a little side note. There are people who refuse to acknowledge their limits and live, strive, and plan as if these limits do not exist. I'll reread it. There are people who refuse to acknowledge their limits and live, strive, and plan as if these limits do not exist. Number one, did God build in routine and repetition into our lives on purpose? The answer is yes. Why has God locked us in this cage called life between the ups and downs, between the good days and bad? You'll dwell on that one. Are life's rhythms designed to point us to another reality? Your answer, yes. And what is that another reality? It is the eternity that God has placed in the heart of every human being. Do we long for more? The answer is yes. You ever satisfied? The answer is never. Never satisfied. Tell me, is there anybody in here that can say, I'm satisfied? I'm satisfied with everything I have. I can live with it. I can keep it. I can wear it. I can drive it. I can eat it. I can watch it. I'm satisfied with everything that I have. I don't long for more. Can you say that? You know why you can't? Because God has made you where you can't. God, listen to this. Listen to how good God is. He has made you. He has put within you a desire for eternity. What he's saying is, if I did not put that in you, listen to this, then you would be satisfied with things here on earth. And you never would come to me, the living God, who holds your salvation in my hands. Isn't God good? In and by His grace and love, He will steer you into His arms of grace and salvation, forgiveness. And He said, I have put within every human being eternity. So nothing here under the sun on planet Earth will ever satisfy you. And what are you going to do when you get home? Thank you, God, for knowing how to work in my life. Do we long for more? Solomon is saying that God has created time in such a way that it cannot bring fulfillment. Rather, it reveals a vacuum in the human heart that can only be filled by the transcendent God. Who is that? He's a living God. the God of the Bible. And here's the point. Humanity is in tension. Humanity is in tension. We just stay tied up all the time. And I wonder why. Let's read it. Humanity is in tension, T-E-N-S-I-O-N. We live in the routine of time, but our hearts are designed by God. That's a divine design to long for something that is eternal. And on planet Earth, there's not one thing eternal. That's in the hands of the living God. Thank you, God, for how you have put together mankind. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the way you have put us together.